ABC Radio Australia.
Australia and New Zealand's willingness to pay top dollar for recreational drugs is turning Pacific Island states into drug mules for cartels. A new government report outlines how gang members, many of whom are deportees, are transporting shipments of meth and cocaine through the islands, often with the help of corrupt police and customs officials who are paid to look the other way. What's worse, these gang members are being paid for their efforts with drugs of their own, which they go on to sell in Pacific communities. The stark details have been revealed in New Zealand's Ministerial Advisory Group on Transnational Serious and Organised Crime's most recent report. The group's chair, Steve Simon, told me the quantities of drugs getting into Australia and New Zealand via the Pacific are incomparable to anything that's been seen before.
For New Zealand, for example, the amount of methamphetamine our customs service stopped at our border over the entire of 2014 is the same amount they currently stop every week in the last year. And so what we're talking about is a scale which is far beyond anything anyone had ever anticipated. And what we're seeing now is we could almost reliably count on the drugs that were coming into New Zealand were coming through Asia, often transiting through Australia, whereas now we'll just open up this gateway through the Americas, up through North America, down through the Pacific, and into New Zealand and Australia. So we're talking about a scale which we couldn't have conceived of before.
We'll get to those gateways, particularly through the Pacific, in just a second. But before we get to that, why is it so much more? Is it due to an increased demand within Australia and New Zealand for drugs?
We certainly have a healthy percentage of our populations who are willing to consume recreational drugs, but also it's the price that we are willing to pay. We're probably up there in terms of the price we pay for drugs like methamphetamine and cocaine. So we're paying record-leading prices for it, which means it's driving the demand.
Now, deportees have been at the centre of a lot of the trafficking within the Pacific Islands. We've reported in the last 12 months about how criminal gangs like the Comancheros have even opened up chapters in places like Tonga. But I want to ask you, how do they actually go about facilitating the shipments of these drugs? Like, do they serve as middlemen? Are they distributors within the islands? Or are they there to basically sort of move the shipments on?
Bit of everything. What we're seeing is that some of those drugs seem to be stopping and being either used as payment for those who are assisting them in the Pacific. And so what you're seeing is in the Pacific, it's sprung up their own drug problems, if you will.
I see. And what's hindering authorities from getting on top of this?
Coordination is a big one. We have police and customs liaisons in the countries. But what you find when you're on the ground there is what's lacking is a cohesion, a pulling together and having a plan. What is the strategy between Australia, New Zealand and the Pacific Islands? What are we doing collectively to say, how do we target this problem that's emerged and how do we stop it from getting worse?
Well, it's probably not clear on whose jurisdiction it is either. Like, at what point does it stop being a South American problem and start being a Pacific or Australian or New Zealand problem?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good observation, and it's one that I certainly found when I was there. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and not clear who's making what meal. And we've seen that through challenges that presents building trust within the Pacific with the authorities, so that we can work collectively together. But I guess with the approach that we took when we were preparing these reports was to say, look, you know, we kind of need to cut through all of that, because at the end of the day, what these drugs are doing to Australia and to New Zealand is horrific.
And what kind of social impact is it having on the islands as well? Like, I'm sure it's infiltrated their social fabric to an extent.
You'd have to be pretty callous to be there and not see how challenging it is. You know, we sometimes forget, you know, how fortunate we are in places like New Zealand and Australia, how good we have got it. And then when you go to the Pacific and you see people struggling to find an income, and then you see this rise of this drug problem, not because they were demanding the drug, but because they happened to be halfway between the Americas and us. And so what's arisen, say, in places like Suva, which is relatively impoverished, you've got them taking on what's called Bluetoothing. So they're consuming the methamphetamine, not by smoking it through pipes, as is commonly done in New Zealand, but injecting it. And so what you've seen is a large growth of methamphetamine addiction. And also together with that, because they're using needles, it's also seen a bump in HIV. So now you've got an AIDS epidemic along with a methamphetamine problem. And connected with that, you've also got mental health issues. So when you're talking with the rehabilitation services who are working there, they've just had this become overwhelmed with the introduction of these drugs, particularly in the last 5 years.
And just finally, you kind of did answer my last question in some ways, but are there any particular countries that are most in danger of really falling victim to this narco state sort of epidemic? I mean, Fiji would be one, but are there any others?
Fiji is the most likely, just because of its size, because of the nature of the ports. I mean, it is a coupling of some 350 islands. And so if you're looking to bring drugs across in either a submarine or a small vessel or a large vessel, sending a small vessel off to land, there's just so many opportunities. There's a lot of haystacks there for you to place your needle. And you've got a relatively impoverished workforce. So these customs officers, these police officers, are earning something around, say, 40,000 Fijian dollars a year. And if you have something like organized crime offer you the same amount of money you'd earn in a year to turn a blind eye to something. One of the things I heard when I was on the ground in Suva was the local New Zealand police officers being told by some Fijian officers that there was offers of bribes to just not go somewhere, not facilitate something, not opening a door, not like taking a bag off a carousel. Just don't be in a location at a particular time, and they could generate the same amount of income as they'd earn in a year.
That was Steve Simon, Chair of New Zealand's Ministerial Advisory Group on Transnational Serious and Organised Crime.